three blonde-haired men are stranded on one side of a wide river and don't know how to get across. So the first man prays to God to make him smart enough to figure out how to cross the river. So God turns him into a brown-haired man, and he swims across. It gets better. The second man prays to God to make him even smarter. So God turns him into a dark-haired man, and he builds a boat and rows across. The third man prays to God to make him the smartest of all. Now that's a wise prayer. So God turns him into a woman, and he walks across the bridge. All right, for all you men who are offended, get over it. All right? Today we're going to be decoding favor. And not just favor, but what divine favor is. I'd like you to go, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, that they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." Everybody say peace and prosperity. "Let people and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your hearts. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." Wise words from the book of Proverbs. "Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Now, I'm sure at some point, every one of us in our lives, we've enjoyed some kind of favor. Your mom, who favored you above one of the other kids. A teacher. Maybe some of you were the teachers. I hope some of you were the teacher's favorite. We have a couple of teachers here. I'm sure you have your favorites in your class. Oh, perfect teachers. They say they don't. And maybe at work, you were the boss's favorite. You know, you needed time off early to go to house group or to cell group or just to go out somewhere, say, you know, "Sir, can I leave early today?" And you can. And somebody else asks and they say, "No." You know, and you think, "Ooh, I'm the boss's favorite." Doesn't it make you feel good? It makes you feel good to be favored, isn't it? It makes you feel good to be a little favorite. And maybe where someone expresses approval, where there's some reward that comes back to us, a preference thus, you know, grants of favor, which is very, very interesting. So we've all experienced favor at some time, and we all know the benefit of favor. You know, there's one side where you feel extra special, the other side where people feel jealous because you are favored above somebody else. So favor is a spirit of approval, goodwill or liking, partiality, an act of kindness or generosity, favoritism, attractiveness, to be partial, to prefer unfairly, help, assist, to do a kindness, a kind of endorsing upon someone. To be favored means to be regarded or treated with favor, provided with some advantages, especially some privileges. How does this relate, favor in our everyday life, to the divine favor that we can have and experience in our relationship with God? There is a complete difference to favor that you might experience with people as opposed to the favor that we can find out of our relationship with God. And today I want to unpack that and for you to discover and for us to learn how you firstly know what God's favor is and how you can attract God's favor in and over your life. It's really simple. Everybody say, receiving God's favor is simple. Divine favor is favor or grace which is bestowed upon us by God, a sign of His manifest presence in our lives, and His approval and endorsement of our lives. It's kind of God giving a thumbs up. And behind that thumbs up is the very person, character and nature of God behind that thumb that empowers you wherever you are. It communicates Him actively working on behalf of those who love Him for their good and for our blessing and ultimately for His glory. It is His response to our life of obedience and total surrender to Him. Favor, simply defined, could be said in a simple statement as this: favor is God with you and for you. God with you and for you. Say this to me: God is with me and for me. So where does our journey of divine favor begin? Before we had ever had a relationship with Jesus, before we ever interacted with Him as a person, before we came to that point of being born again, moving out of the kingdom of darkness, which is living under a curse and the promise of death, to the kingdom of light, which is living under the blessings of God and the certainty of eternal life, the very first experience of God's favor over your life is the favor which saved you, your salvation. You know, we never earned our right to be loved by God. You never earned your right to go out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It was simply, as Ephesians 2:5 puts it, He said, He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Not of your own works, but what Jesus has done for you and me. So our very first experience, encounter with God, is a God of favor, where He should punish us, where we should be corrected for all the wrong that we have done, for all our sin. I remember one day correcting Amy Joy, and she was about a five-year-old girl, and I corrected and I said, I'm going to punish you. And at that time in church, I was teaching this amazing series, Derek Prince's book about the exchange of the cross. It was around Easter time. And I was talking about how God took all our punishment so as we don't have to be punished when Jesus died on the cross. So in true childlike wisdom, she said, "Dad, okay, you want to punish me. But were you not just saying this Sunday that Jesus took all the punishment? Therefore, do you have to punish me?" You see, that's what it is like in our relationship with God. When we come to Him like a child and say, "God, I've messed up. I've blown up." His favor gives us eternal life. It is by grace that you have been saved. Not by what our works, our righteousness, our good things, but simply by grace. We were all wretched sinners destined for hell, which is eternal separation from God. Hell is not just a hot place, it is eternal separation from God. That is what hell is. And the Bible reminds us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So we see God's favor at the very first interaction. Do you know what really turns God on? Ask your neighbor, do you know what turns God on? Let me tell you, nothing pleases Him more than when we come to Him in faith. The Bible says, if Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and He rewards those who sincerely seek after Him. Just like the sticky Proverbs was talking about. The guy that sincerely sought after God saw God's favor over his life. So it's not just a case of grumbling, complaining, "Oh God, I don't know if You can do this for me. God, I don't think You really love me. Lord, I don't think You have any good interest for me." You know, God wants us to approach life in faith. "God, I'm struggling right now. I've got some challenges. I've got some financial challenges. I've got some emotional challenges. But I'm going to come to You in faith. I'm going to believe that You exist, and I'm going to believe that You are going to help me get better. You are going to take a look at my finances. You are going to empower me to earn more. Give me a promotion. Help me to work better. Give me some skill sets that I haven't found yet or discovered. You are going to help me to get through this sticky situation." Are you with me? God loves it when we come to Him in faith. So quit whining when you go to God, because that does not make us look attractive to Him. How many of you like somebody who whines all the time? You have those people at work? Always complaining about the boss. Always complaining about if they got paid more, they would do more. Always complaining, complaining, complaining. How many of you like hanging around with them? Unless you're one of those as well. You don't. And then you look at the guy that walks around, you know, chest out like a pruned peacock, walks around and he's happy and, you know, his life is going well. And they are complaining. It doesn't get you anywhere. We all have challenges. We have them. But when we approach God, we approach Him in faith. Because that makes us attractive to God. Are you with me? He loves it when we do that. And that is something that attracts the favor of God. Faith attracts God's favor over your life. So we're saved by faith. But favor and grace are two words that are used interchangeably in the Bible. And very often, we primarily have taught grace as, you know, God's unmerited favor. But grace is not just God's unmerited favor. That's to do with salvation. Grace or favor is also, and we'll uncover this, is also God's empowerment for us to live our life. Okay? But firstly, let us look at favor when we obey. God promises wonderful favor to the blameless believer. Not to the perfect believer. None of us are perfect yet. But to the blameless believer. Keep my commandments, the proverb said. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. When we walk in obedience to God's word, when our lives are right with God and with one another, let me say that again. When we obey God's word, and when our lives are right with God and with one another, and His word is impressed upon our hearts. In other words, it's not just a Sunday experience or an occasional visit, but there is a sense of an understanding of who God is, His character, His nature. We have an understanding of the word of God. I'm not suggesting you need to go to Bible school for that, but you read your Bible, pray every day. You have a relationship with Him. Out of that, God's favor comes upon our lives. Because when we reading God's word, when our lives and our hearts are inclined towards Him, we want to do whatever it takes to please Him. You with me? And pleasing Him is obedience. You know, sometimes you make such a big thing out of obedience. But in John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Obedience is not a case of reprimand, retribution, or anything like that. The obedience that we need to be motivated by is an obedience that comes out of a love for God. You with me? You don't want to be obedient because, oh my gosh, if I do this. No. God wants us to obey Him out of an attitude and a motive of love. Because you love Him, you will obey Him. Isn't that liberating? God is saying if you set your sights to walk blameless before Him, you will walk in His favor and be pleasing to Him. In the book of Genesis chapter 17, Abraham was 99 years old and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between you and may multiply you greatly. We see God here in a very different dispensation in the Old Testament, where God would relate to a specific person in a specific time, in a specific place. And He comes to Abraham, who was a specific person at that time, and he says, listen, Abraham, you walk right before me. You live a blameless life, and look what I will do in and through your life. You see, Abraham's journey began first with an overall, overarching promise from God that I will bless you and I will make you into a great nation, and all the families of the earth will be blessed by you. And so was birthed the Jewish nation. But along that journey, God reminds Abraham of how he needs to walk. It isn't just because God promised him that it was an automatic. It was conditional to his obedience. And so favor, favor, divine favor, is when we obey God, we will experience His favor. The favor of God is never the absence of having to make wise choices to live righteously. You cannot be favored and live like a fool. Or you cannot be a fool and expect to see God's favor. You make bad choices, you forfeit the favor of God over your life. Now, I'm not saying God will not love you. I'm not suggesting that He will throw you into the deep pit of hell. But I'm saying in your relationship, in your day-to-day walk with Him, if we want to see a manifest expression of God's favor, then He expects us to walk upright. He doesn't want us to compromise, to cut short in any aspect of our life. You want your business to flourish. You want to flourish in the workplace. You want promotion. You want to do well in whatever you're doing. You walk uprightly, even in a crooked nation, and see the favor that God will give you. Sometimes in nations where, and I think crookedness is in every nation, but more so here, when we are more tempted to give in to crookedness because it is so hard to find a point of reference for something that is straight. The only straight is something crooked. Not as crooked as crooked, but it's crooked. So we think, okay, if I'm like this, maybe I'm not as crooked, but I'm a little crooked, and that's probably pretty straight. But God says, upright, walk before me blameless. And we can do it. We can do it. Because when we do, divine favor comes. And divine favor, and as we discover in my next point, is powerful. The favor of God, Solomon is another prime example of a man who experienced divine favor in his life, but eventually ended up like a fool. A man full of wisdom, ended his life meaninglessly. Because he clung to those he loved, women he should never have entertained in the first place. Women that turned his heart away from God and to other gods. So Solomon, who was the wisest man, and for his time he was, for Solomon, who was the wealthiest man, and for his time he was, Solomon, who built the temple to hold and to contain the presence of God in the nation of Israel, that wise man ended foolishly. Why? Because he did not walk uprightly before God. And so also in our lives, when we compromise, you may start off well, but it's how you continue that is just as important. Samson, enticed and ensnared by sweet whispers, sweet nothings, loses his strength and forfeits the favor of God, only to find it again because he comes back to his senses. So what am I saying? Can we take the favor of God for granted? No. God wants us to walk in relationship with Him. God wants us to obey His word, obey His command, and do it out of a relationship and an attitude of love. The favor of God was all over Joseph. You know the story of Joseph, a young man who had a dream. His father favored him so much, he gave him a coat of many colors, which was symbolic of what God was going to do. And yet, Joseph endured tremendous challenges. Joseph knew the favor of God. He knew the favor of his father, but he experienced the wrath of his peers. His brothers beat him black and blue. They threw him into a pit and said, "Dad, Joseph's dead." The wolves got hold of him. Why? Because they were jealous of the favor of God upon his life. Now let me tell you, you can't use that always if you're being beaten up. Oh, God's favor is over my life. Maybe you're doing something wrong as well. You need to discern which one it is. But you will find very often when you are walking in divine favor, there will be great opposition. But what did Joseph do? Through the tremendous challenges of the pit, prison, all the hassle that he had for years and years and years and years, through it all, he stood strong. He never entertained any hurt towards his brothers. In every situation, he always looked for the opportunity to come out. In the pit, he looked up. In the prison, he looked through the bars. Where he was with Potiphar's wife and tempted, he ran for his life. He got out of every sticky situation. He kept his heart right. He walked upright. And Joseph eventually comes through to a place of prominence where he is honored and he is given a place of leadership in one of the most powerful nations of that time in Egypt. So he held on to God, he kept his heart right with God, with people, and he came through a winner. So even though we may face challenges, when we face those challenges, how we respond to them will determine whether we will continue to see the favor of God in our lives. And so I don't know what your challenges are, financial issues at work, frustrations in the home, relationship challenges, whatever they are, just keep your focus on God. Go to Him in faith, because when you do that, you will have favor to live life well. Everybody say, I need God's favor. I need His divine favor to live my life well. You know, it's not easy living life with the challenges that it brings. But God's favor also includes enabling power. You with me? It's not just, oh, God is so good to me. It is God empowers me to be better. You with me? He empowers me to be good. He empowers me to be the best in what I am doing. The best teacher, the best businessman, the best entrepreneur, the best whatever, the best mother, the best husband, the best child that I can ever be. His empowerment, His favor empowers me to be good. Say that with me. God's divine favor empowers me to be good. It empowers me to do what I do well. It's not just, oh, God loves me, I'm His favorite. No, it's a case of there's an empowerment. The whole of heaven backs you up when you do what you're doing. That's divine favor. The favor of God, or the grace of God, enables and empowers you to be all you need to be and do all that God has called you to do. For us to establish the church here, we need God's divine favor. For us to see this church grow and flourish, we need nothing but the divine favor of God. For us to attract that divine favor, we must walk uprightly. We must keep our hearts right, our relationships strong. We've got to grow in God and grow with one another. Paul said, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance." The favor of God brings the power of the Holy Spirit to all that you say. Your words will never fall to the ground because they have Holy Spirit power. You see, when we enter into a relationship with God and we are walking and living in divine favor, there is a whole difference to just living your life as a mundane believer. And you alone will know that. And I don't think there needs to be any thunder or lightning. It's a simple decision that you make to obey God every day. Those little choices that we have to make. It's a simple awareness that God's divine favor can be manifest in your life. It's as simple as saying, God, I want your favor for what you have called me to do. Not just to plant a church or to do something spiritual. Anything that you do. Wherever you are, at work, if you push paper, push it well. Stack it neatly. Not just, that's not an exhibition of God's favor over your life. That's chaos. Whatever you do. I remember in London, we had this young, amazing Sri Lankan man. And he got saved. He came to our church and we were discipling him. And for months, he would never tell me what he did. As we became good friends, he began to open up and he said, you know what? I work in a hospital. My wife and I work in a hospital down the road and we clean these big vats. I mean, they're big. They're 10, 20 feet in diameter where they cook the hospital food. I go in there and I clean those vats. He was embarrassed being a Sri Lankan. You don't say you're a cleaner. You see, but in London, there's dignity of labor. The cleaners get paid more than the office workers. So some of you just might want to be cleaners. But from where he came from, you're not going to, I sweep the floors of Bombay. I mean, how many would like to say that? I pick up the garbage every morning. No, you won't. You're going to come. What do? I do community service. that's what he is doing with us. And as we nurtured him and as he grew in God, the guy today, has a business that is international. And what is his business? Cleaning. We helped him to see that there was nothing wrong in cleaning hospital vats, that God probably had purposed his life for greatness. And as he grew in the relationship, and he was a real Jacob, he wanted everything God had. You know, anything, give it to me. God, he wanted me to tell him how he could get whatever God had. And so we did. And it's amazing how we began to see the favor of grow upon his life. He grew this cleaning business in London. He sold it. He started off a new business in Sri Lanka. I spoke to him the other day. He's now building a swimming pool in his house. His business is flourishing. He's still grabbing everything he can take. He's still loving God for who he is. He's generous as ever. He's a crazy guy. But God's favor is upon his life. Not just his, but everybody that works for him. He picks up young people like him who were nobodies, who were ashamed to say they clean things. He gives them jobs. He empowers them. His favor is now their favor. It's not just about where it ends with me. Amazing story. Proverbs chapter 13 says, good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. You see, Paul also made it clear. He said, listen, guys, don't take the grace of God for granted. Don't take the favor of God for granted. Don't just think because God favored you yesterday, you can live however you want today. God wants to keep us on our toes. He wants us to walk right, live right. And that can be every one of our stories in whatever we do. You know, he used to play the little keyboard drums then. Our church was just starting off this about 18 years ago in London. We just planted the church. And when he played that keyboard, he played it like he had a whole orchestra. He would just press one button and we'd get the rhythm on the rhythm box. But when he pressed it, it was, you know, he was into it, man. He was not like, it was, you know, every beat he was doing it as unto God. He was not ashamed just to be pressing one key and giving the whole band rhythm. But that one key he would press because he said, I'm doing it as unto God. If I'm going to press that key, I'm going to press it good. This guy knew what it was like to live in the favor of God. Come on. We need to lighten up. We need to just chill out a little bit and enjoy what God has for you. So favor is there to enable us to live. Favor is visible. You with me? Living in divine favor means that the favor of God is visible. Then you will win favor and a good name. Everybody say good name in the sight of God and man. In India, we can make up a good name. Just have people say a lot of good things about you. Oh, bahut acha hai na? Bahut, arre, itna acha aadmi hai. I'm not talking about that good name. I'm talking about a good name that is backed by character. A good name that you don't have to shout about, but people see what you do, how you treat people, how you deal with situations and circumstances. They watch you. So favor is visible. God's divine favor also brings high esteem among men. It is written of David. David behaved more wisely. What did David do? He behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. You know, God had chosen Saul to lead the nation of Israel, but Saul faltered, and God was looking for somebody else. Who thought David would be the man? Shepherd boy David, never really gone to the battlefield. Had never really probably shaved yet, hadn't cut his teeth, he hadn't really punched anybody up. How was he going to lead a nation? But God looked at the heart of David, found somebody that was diligently seeking after him. That's what God said about David. Even though he failed and faltered, David is a man after my own heart. That's what God found attractive about David. Now David killed. He had committed adultery. He did some crazy stuff, but he kept his heart right. He repented of his wicked ways, and God's favor was still over his life. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. God gives the righteous a good name so that they can use it to glorify him in good measure. You know, ultimately, God's favor in your life is there, yes, to save you. Yes, it is there when we obey him. Yes, it is so as we can live our lives well, and it'll be visible not just to you, but to those around you, but more importantly, so that He receives all of the glory. You can't walk around, "I'm God's favorite, see how nice I am." You know, Jesus hamara saath hai, tumhara saath hai kya? But because He will be ultimately glorified, ultimately the glory. I mean, Ian, God's favor is upon him, a guy who grew up in Baikala, went to school at Christ Church. God's favor is on him. You know what I mean? God's favor is on you. I mean, yes. You with me? Yes. God's divine favor can be there. Genesis chapter 39 and 34. And this is, I want to end with this thought. Joseph's master looks at him, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight. You see, people are watching your lives on the bus, when you go to work, in your building, where you live, how you respond to your neighbors. Do you snub them? Do you greet them? How we deal with our people at work. Joseph, who'd been through so many traumas in life, when his master looked at him, he saw what first? The presence of God. That God was with him. And that everything David did prospered. That everything that Joseph did prospered. Even in prison, where you and I would be beating ourselves up for being in prison, he prospered. You with me? Wherever he was, he did what God had called him to do. And he prospered. God was with him, and he prospered. And people saw that, and they said, "My God, if God's favor is upon him, let's appoint him as the prime minister of Egypt." Why? Because if the favor of God is upon him and he leads the nation, then common sense, that favor will come upon the nation. And that's exactly what happened to the nation of Egypt. So promotion is not just for you, but it is the impact and the influence that will have on hundreds and thousands of people in whatever you do. Favor is never what we possess. Instead, who possesses us? When we are God's possession, the apple of his eye, we are living in his divine favor. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that for each one of us sitting here today, you have an amazing purpose and plan for our lives. And we need your favor to do what you have called us to do. Lord, we come before you humbly today and ask you to pour out your divine favor over our lives. We will choose to walk uprightly, obey your word, live righteously, be faithful to you and to the people that you've entrusted us to. We would ask that your favor would flow over our lives and all that we do. In our homes, your divine favor. In our relationships, your divine favor. In our work, your divine favor. In the community and society, divine favor in everything that we do. Come, I want you right now to respond personally to God in this year. We began this year with limitlessness of how God will work in our life, take the limits of our lives. For us to live in that zone of limitlessness, we need God.